Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. We're going to be tackling a topic today that I know is going to resonate with a lot of you. Family's role in teen therapy.
Yeah.
It's a big one. And it's something that goes way beyond those kind of like troubled teen headlines you see all the time.
Absolutely.
You sent over a really interesting collection of articles and stuff that kind of capture all the different facets of this, you know, clinical perspectives, personal stories. And I'm ready to dig in and like get to the juicy insights with you.
Let's do it.
What really struck me, honestly, as I was kind of looking through everything was how these articles all really emphasize that family involvement isn't just about fixing a teen. You know, it's not like that.
It's not just the peen in isolation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really about like the whole family system evolving and getting stronger, especially when things get rough.
Well, and what's so fascinating is there's actual research. You know, it's not just like this touchy-feely thing.
Right.
There's research that shows that family involvement can actually make therapy more effective.
Like, how much more effective are we talking?
Well, for example, a 2023 study in the Journal of Family Therapy found that teens whose families were involved in the therapy process showed a 60% greater reduction in depressive symptoms compared to teens who were only doing individual therapy.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference, and it really highlights the fact that this period of time, you know, adolescence, it's not just about the teen.
Right.
It's about equipping everyone with the tools.
So it's not just assuming that the teen is the problem. It's kind of like zooming out.
Zooming out, looking at the big picture.
I like that.
Yeah.
One of the articles I thought was really cool talked about understanding the family ecosystem.
Yes.
Can you break that down a little bit for us? Like, what does that even mean? And how does that affect the way therapy is approached?
Absolutely. So think about it this way. Each family is a unique ecosystem with all these different interconnected parts. You've got the individuals, you've got their relationships, their shared history values,
right.
Even external factors like school community.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And when a therapist brings the family into therapy, it's like they're suddenly given access to all this information that they might have missed in an individual session.
Makes sense.
So it's like putting together a puzzle, right? You're able to see these patterns and causes that might be contributing to whatever the teen is going through.
Can you give like a concrete example of that?
Sure. So let's say you have a teenager who's struggling with anxiety.
Okay.
On the surface, it might seem like it's just school stress.
Yeah.
But then when you involve the family, you might uncover that there's a lot of sibling rivalry happening at home.
Right.
Or that a parent is going through divorce or job loss.
Interesting.
You know, all these factors that the teen might not even be consciously aware of.
So it's like those hidden stressors.
Exactly. And understanding those dynamics completely changes the approach to therapy.
Okay, so we're not just treating the symptoms. We're going deeper.
We're going deeper. We're looking at the root.
That makes a lot of sense. And another thing that I noticed was that it's not just about talking more. It's about talking better.
Yes. Communication is key.
Right.
And therapy can really help families break free from these negative patterns they get stuck in.
Like what kind of patterns?
Oh, you know, the constant criticism or avoiding tough conversations altogether.
Oh, yeah. I know those.
We all do. And instead, therapy teaches them to express their needs and feelings, but in a way that's constructive.
Well, I wish my family had known about that when I was a teenager.
Well, you know, families often develop their own unique communication style. Some families are very expressive. Others are more reserved. And these patterns become really ingrained over time.
Right.
The challenge is that when those patterns are dysfunctional,
yeah,
like someone always interrupting or someone avoiding conflict at all costs, it really creates these roadblocks.
It makes it hard to actually connect.
Exactly. And I imagine those roadblocks become even more pronounced during the teenage years when everyone's dealing with so much change.
Because teenagers are already going through a lot.
Exactly. Adolescence is a time of huge emotional and physical development.
Right.
Teens are trying to figure out their identity. They're testing boundaries. They're trying to establish independence.
Yeah.
And for parents, it can be really anxiety provoking.
Of course.
Because they're trying to figure out how to let go while still providing support.
It's like this push and pull.
It is. And when you combine those developmental challenges with unhealthy communication, it's like adding fuel to the fire.
So it sounds like therapy is almost like a training ground.
In a way, yes.
Where families can learn and practice these new ways of talking to each other.
Exactly. It's about creating the safe environment where families can unpack their baggage, figure out what's not working, and then learn some new strategies for expressing themselves effectively.
And what are some of those strategies?
Well, one of the most impactful techniques that these articles highlighted is active listening.
Okay. I've heard that term before, but can you like break it down? What does that actually look like when you're talking about a family?
So active listening, it goes beyond just hearing the words. It's about really tuning into what the other person is saying. And that includes their body language,
right,
their tone of voice, the emotions behind the words.
So it's not just what they're saying, it's how they're saying it.
Exactly. The goal is to understand their perspective, not just wait for your turn to speak.
That's hard.
It is. It's a simple shift, but it can have a huge impact.
Like, what would that look like in a real conversation?
Well, instead of interrupting with a lecture or immediately trying to offer solutions, you might say something like, it sounds like you're feeling really frustrated right now. Can you tell me more about that?
So you're not just waiting to jump in with your opinion.
No, you're showing them that you genuinely want to understand their experience.
I feel like that would be especially important for teenagers.
It is. Teenagers often feel misunderstood.
Right.
And when they feel heard and understood, it creates this foundation of trust and respect.
Yeah, and that's got to be important for any relationship.
Absolutely. But it's especially important in families where emotions can run high and, you know, there might be some past hurts that haven't been fully addressed.
It's almost like you're rebuilding the communication infrastructure of the family.
I love that analogy.
So you're creating these stronger pathways for connection.
Yeah, and active listening is just one piece of the puzzle.
What else?
Another technique that these articles emphasized is the power of I statements.
Okay, I know about I statements, but how does that work within a family dynamic?
So I statements are a way to express your own feelings and needs without blaming or attacking the other person.
Right.
So instead of saying you always or you never, you shift to I feel or I need.
It seems so simple, but I guess it's not.
It's not. It can be a real game changer.
Can you give an example of how that might play out in like a family therapy session?
Sure. Let's say you have a parent who's frustrated because their teen is always on their phone. Instead of saying, you're always on that phone, you never spend time with the family.
Which is so easy to say.
It is. It's a natural reaction, but they could try saying, I feel disconnected from you when you're on your phone all the time. I would really appreciate it if we could have some device-free time together.
Oh, wow. That sounds so much better.
It is. It's less accusatory, and it focuses on expressing their own feelings and needs.
So it's not about attacking the teen.
Exactly. And even though it seems like a small tweak in wording, it can change the whole dynamic of the conversation.
I can see that.
It shifts the focus from blame and defensiveness to understanding and empathy.
And that's where the real healing can begin.
Precisely.
So it's not just about learning new techniques. It's about changing your whole mindset.
Yes. It's about shifting to a more collaborative and compassionate approach.
I like that.
And remember, family therapy, it's not about achieving perfect communication overnight.
No.
It takes time.
Of course.
It takes practice, and it often involves navigating some pretty uncomfortable emotions along the way.
And that's where the therapist comes in, right?
Yes. A skilled therapist can act as a facilitator, helping the family identify their patterns, practice new skills, and navigate those inevitable moments of tension and conflict.
So kind of like a guide.
Exactly. They're there to support and guide the family as they go through this process.
Because let's face it, families can be messy.
They can be very messy, but they can also be incredibly resilient.
And that resilience is what helps them get through those tough times.
Exactly. And that's where the concept of family resilience becomes so powerful.
How so?
Well, it's about developing the ability to bounce back from challenges.
Okay.
To adapt to change and to support each other no matter what.
I feel like that kind of resilience can have a ripple effect.
Absolutely. It goes beyond just the immediate family.
Right.
Families who cultivate resilience are not only better equipped to cope with their own challenges, they also model healthy coping mechanisms for their kids.
So it's like a generational thing.
Exactly. It's like creating a legacy of strength and connection that can be passed down.
That's a beautiful way to think about it.
It is. And it highlights the importance of investing in family well-being because the benefits, stronger relationships, improved communication, increased resilience, they can have a profound impact, not just for the individual members, but for the entire family system.
And even beyond.
Exactly.
So we've talked about this idea of the family ecosystem. We've dug into communication patterns, and we've even touched on active listening and I statements. But I want to dig even deeper.
Yes, let's do it.
Into like the nitty-gritty of family involvement.
Okay.
What are some of the things that really stood out to you from these articles as being super important for families to understand?
Well, one of the things that really resonated with me was that family therapy isn't just about fixing problems. It's sure. also about fostering strengths.
I like that.
It's about acknowledging that families, even those who are going through really tough times, they have inherent resources and resilience.
Right.
And therapy can help them tap into those strengths, their shared history, their values, their unique ways of coping and connecting.
So it's not just about focusing on the negative, it's about highlighting the positive.
Exactly. And one article I read highlighted a family who used humor as their secret weapon.
Humor.
For navigating tough conversations.
Interesting.
They would turn family dinners into a time for sharing funny stories and memes, even while discussing serious issues.
So they found a way to keep things light.
Yes. They maintained a sense of lightness and connection, even when things were tough.
That's awesome.
It is. And it underscores the importance of tailoring therapy to each family's unique needs and dynamics.
There's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Absolutely. Every family is different, and what works for one family might not work for another.
Right. And I imagine that's especially true when we're talking about families who don't fit the traditional mold.
Exactly.
We touched upon this earlier. The definition of family is evolving.
It is.
So how do these principles apply to blended families, single-parent families, same-sex couples raising children, you know, all the different configurations that exist today?
That's a really important question, and it's something that the field of family therapy is grappling with.
Mm.
The research may not fully reflect the diversity of modern families yet,
right?
But the core principles remain relevant. The need for connection, for clear communication, for mutual respect, and understanding those needs transcend any specific family structure.
That's reassuring to hear.
It is. It means that the fundamentals of healthy family dynamics, the universal.
Yeah.
But it also means that therapists need to be culturally sensitive and attuned to the unique needs and experiences of each family they work with.
So you're adapting the approach, not the principles.
Exactly.
To make sure it's inclusive and effective.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that every family has its own unique story, its own strengths and challenges, and its own path to healing and growth.
And that path isn't always linear.
Definitely, there will be bumps along the way. There will be moments of frustration, times when it feels like progress is elusive.
But that's part of the process.
It is. And that's where the strength of the family unit, that ability to support each other through those difficult moments, it becomes so crucial.
So it's not about striving for perfection.
No.
It's about embracing the messy, imperfect.
And often hilarious.
Reality of family life.
Exactly. It's about celebrating the small victories, learning from the setbacks, and recognizing that even the most challenging experiences can become opportunities for growth and deeper connection.
I love that perspective.
Yes.
It's about finding the beauty and the resilience within the chaos.
Yes.
And recognizing that even amidst the imperfections, families can be these incredible sources of strength, love, and support.
You truly are. And that's something worth celebrating and nurturing, no matter what form a family takes.
I couldn't agree more. But before we dive even deeper into the challenges and the triumphs of family therapy, let's take a short break.
Sounds good.
We'll be back soon to explore even more insights from these fascinating articles and discuss how families can navigate the often turbulent waters of adolescence.
Yes.
With more understanding, connection, and resilience.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So welcome back to our deep dive into family and teen therapy. I think it's really important to address something that we kind of touched on earlier, and that is that family involvement. You know, it's not a magic bullet.
Right. It's not like you just bring the family in and suddenly all the problems disappear.
Exactly. And actually, one of their articles used a pretty striking phrase to describe it.
Oh, really? What was that?
They said that involving families in therapy can sometimes feel like stirring up a hornet's nest.
Okay, wow. That's a pretty vivid image.
Yeah.
What do they mean by that?
Well, it's basically saying that when you start digging into family dynamics, you're going to uncover a lot of stuff. Complex emotions, unresolved conflicts, you know, even past hurts that have been kind of simmering beneath the surface for years.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Families have a lot of history together, so it's bound to get messy.
Exactly. And that's why having a skilled therapist to guide the process is so important.
So the therapist is kind of like a mediator.
Yes. They're there to help the family navigate those choppy waters, create a safe space for those difficult conversations, and provide tools for managing conflict in a healthy way.
So they're like a referee in a boxing match.
I like that analogy.
Making sure everyone plays fair and stays focused on the goal.
Exactly. The therapist helps families set ground rules, establish boundaries, and learn how to communicate respectfully even when they disagree.
But I imagine it's not always smooth sailing.
No progress in therapy, especially family therapy, isn't always linear.
You're not going to walk in and suddenly everyone's holding hands singing Kumbaya.
Right. There are going to be setbacks, moments of frustration times when it feels like you're taking two steps forward and one step back.
Especially when you're dealing with teenagers who are already going through so much.
Exactly. Adolescence is a period of immense change.
Mm.
Hormones are raging, identities are being formed, teens are pushing boundaries and striving for independence. It's a lot.
It's like trying to navigate a constantly shifting landscape.
Exactly. And it's important for both teens and parents to have realistic expectations going into therapy.
Right.
It's not a quick fix. It's a process that requires patience, persistence, and a willingness to embrace the ups and downs.
And sometimes those small steps forward can lead to big breakthroughs.
Absolutely.
One of the articles shared a story about a family who was really struggling to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
The parents felt like they were constantly butting heads with their teenage son, and everyone just felt misunderstood.
Yeah. It's a common scenario, and it often stems from those ingrained communication patterns we talked about earlier.
Right. Like they were stuck in a cycle of criticism and defensiveness.
Exactly.
So how did therapy help them?
Well, through therapy, they started practicing those techniques we discussed, active listening, using I statements.
Okay.
And slowly but surely, things started to shift.
Really?
The parents started to see things from their son's perspective, and he started to feel heard and validated for the first time.
That's awesome. So even when it feels really tough, those communication skills can really make a difference.
They can. It's like learning a new language.
The language of empathy.
Exactly. And it takes effort and practice, but the rewards can be profound.
Like in this case, they were able to move beyond those surface level conflicts and actually start addressing the underlying issues.
Exactly. They build a deeper level of connection and understanding.
That's so inspiring.
Yeah.
But what about families who are hesitant to even try therapy?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're worried about the stigma or they're not sure if it's right for them. What are some of the barriers that keep families from seeking help?
That's a great question. And there are several reasons why families might hesitate. One common one is stigma.
Right.
Some people still view therapy as a sign of weakness or failure, and they worry about what others might think.
Which is unfortunate because therapy can be so beneficial.
It is. But the good news is that we're seeing a shift in attitudes. More and more people are recognizing that seeking help is actually a sign of strength.
I agree. It's about prioritizing your well-being.
Exactly. It's like going to the doctor for a physical ailment. You wouldn't hesitate to seek help if you were experiencing pain or discomfort. So why should mental and emotional health be any different?
That's a good point.
And just like physical health, mental and emotional well-being require attention and care. And sometimes we need the guidance of an expert.
Right. So it's not about being weak. It's about being proactive.
Exactly. But stigma isn't the only barrier. Another common concern is confidentiality.
Yeah, especially for teenagers.
Especially for teenagers, they're very protective of their privacy, and they might worry about what they share in therapy being used against them or disclosed to others.
So how do therapists address that?
Well, good therapists will be very upfront about the limits of confidentiality.
Right.
They'll explain what information can and cannot be shared, and they'll emphasize the importance of creating a safe and trusting space.
So it's about open communication and transparency right from the start.
Exactly. And another common concern is cost.
Of course, therapy can be expensive.
It can, and not all families have access to insurance that covers it.
So what can families do if they're struggling financially?
Well, there are resources available. Many therapists offer sliding scale fees based on income, and there are community mental health centers that provide affordable or even free services.
Okay, so there are options out there. It might just take a little bit of digging to find them.
Right, and it's important to remember that investing in family well-being is an investment in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits of stronger relationships, improved communication, and increased resilience, they can pay off for years to come.
It's like planting a seed that grows into a strong and healthy tree.
Exactly. But, you know, even with all these resources and the growing awareness of mental health, some families simply don't believe in therapy.
Really?
They might think they can handle things on their own, or they might have cultural or religious beliefs that make them skeptical.
That's understandable. So how do you approach those situations?
Well, it's about meeting people where they are and acknowledging their concerns. Instead of pushing the idea of therapy, we can focus on the tangible benefits, like learning specific communication skills or developing strategies for managing conflict.
So it's less about labeling it as therapy and more about framing it as a skill-building workshop.
Exactly. And sometimes that can be a more palatable way to introduce the idea.
Right.
We can also emphasize that therapy isn't about judging or criticizing families. It's about providing support and guidance as they navigate challenges and strengthen their bonds.
And even if a family isn't ready for full-blown therapy, there might be other ways to support them.
Absolutely.
Like connecting them with community resources or parent support groups.
Exactly. Or even just sharing some of the communication tips we've discussed today.
Right. It's about recognizing that support can come from many sources, not just the therapist's office.
Exactly. And sometimes just knowing that they're not alone in their struggles can make a world of difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That sense of validation and connection can be so powerful.
It can, and it reminds us that we're all in this together, navigating the complexities of family life and striving to create more loving and supportive relationships.
So we've explored some of the challenges and rewards of family involvement in therapy. We've talked about communication skills, building resilience, and addressed some of the hesitations families might have. But as we move forward, I want to shift our focus to a theme that emerged throughout these articles.
Okay.
This idea that family involvement isn't just about fixing problems, it's also about fostering strengths.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that families, even those facing difficulties, they have inherent resources and resilience.
And it's about leveraging those strengths to create a more supportive and resilient family unit.
Right.
One article talked about how therapy can help families tap into their existing resources, their shared history, their cultural values, their unique ways of coping and connecting.
It's about working with what's already there. Each family has its own strengths and ways of functioning, and therapy can help them harness those strengths to overcome challenges.
So it's not about imposing some external model of a healthy family.
No, it's about recognizing that every family has its own unique set of skills and resources.
Like hidden treasures.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes those treasures are hiding in plain sight.
Really? Like what?
It might be a family's shared sense of humor, their ability to communicate openly and honestly, or their unwavering loyalty and support for one another.
Well, I see.
Therapy can help families identify and amplify those strengths, using them as building blocks for a more resilient and fulfilling family life.
So it's about shifting the focus from what's broken to what's working.
Exactly.
And building upon those strengths.
Yes.
To create a more positive and supportive dynamic.
One of the articles provided a great example of this. It highlighted a family who used their shared love of music to connect and communicate during tough times.
Music. How did that work?
They would have family jam sessions, playing instruments, singing together, using music as a way to express their emotions and process their experiences.
That's beautiful. So they found a way to channel their feelings through music.
Exactly. And it demonstrates that therapy isn't just about talking. It can involve all sorts of creative and expressive outlets.
Right. It's about finding what resonates with each family.
And using those shared experiences to build stronger bonds.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
No, it's about tailoring the therapy to each family's unique needs, strengths, and interests.
And recognizing that even within families who are facing really tough challenges, there are often these hidden reserves of strength and resilience.
Exactly. And one of the key roles of the therapist is to help families uncover those hidden strengths, to shine a light on the positive aspects of their dynamics, and to empower them to use those strengths to navigate challenges.
So it's about shifting the narrative from deficit to abundance, from what's wrong to what's right.
Exactly. And it's about recognizing that even amidst imperfections, families can be incredible sources of love, support, and resilience.
And that's a powerful message to carry with us as we continue our deep dive into the role of family in teen therapy. But before we delve further into the specific challenges and triumphs of this journey, let's take a short break to gather our thoughts and prepare to explore even more insights from these fascinating articles. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're back, and we've really covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into family and teen therapy.
We have.
We've talked about communication patterns.
Right.
You know, all the dynamics and how just bringing the family in can really amplify the effectiveness of the therapy.
Absolutely.
But as we kind of wrap things up, I want to circle back to something that was a theme throughout all the articles we looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that family involvement isn't just about fixing problems.
Yes.
It's also about nurturing strengths.
Exactly.
And I remember specifically one of the articles talked about a family who used their love of hiking.
Oh, yeah.
As a way to connect during therapy.
That's right.
They'd go on these hikes together and talk about their feelings and their issues. And it was like a really cool blend of family bonding and therapy all in one.
I love that example. It just shows that you can incorporate these principles into everyday life. It doesn't have to be this formal sit-down session in an office.
Exactly. So it's about finding those unique strengths and resources within each family.
Absolutely. And sometimes those strengths are hidden in plain sight.
Like what kind of things?
Well, it could be a shared sense of humor or a love of music or even just that willingness to listen and support each other.
Yeah.
Therapy can help families identify and really amplify those positive aspects so that they can build a more resilient and fulfilling life together.
And those strengths can really make a difference, especially when families are going through tough times.
Absolutely. You know, even in the midst of challenges, families are often far more resilient than they realize.
And it's important to acknowledge that, right?
It is.
Because sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the negative.
Exactly.
But we have to remember that there's always strength to be found.
And those strengths are often rooted in those shared experiences, the traditions, the little moments of joy and connection that make a family a family.
But of course, we have to acknowledge that there are situations where families might need more support
right.
than they can provide for each other.
Of course.
Like situations involving abuse or neglect or serious mental health challenges.
Those are really tough situations. And while it's important to celebrate the resilience of families, we also have to recognize that professional help is sometimes necessary.
Absolutely.
You know, to ensure the safety and well-being of everyone involved.
And the articles really emphasize the importance of reaching out for help in those cases.
They did.
There's no shame in asking for support.
And that's where the role of a therapist can go beyond just facilitating communication.
Mm-hmm.
It might involve advocating for the family's needs, connecting them with resources, and making sure everyone has access to the support they need.
So it's about recognizing that families are often the first line of support, but they're not always equipped to handle every situation on their own.
Exactly. And that's where the community can really step up, whether it's schools or social services or even just supportive friends and neighbors.
It takes a village.
It does.
Yeah.
And it reminds us that we all have a responsibility to look out for one another.
To create a culture where families feel supported.
And empowered to seek help when they need it.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into family and teen therapy.
Yeah.
I want to leave our listeners with a sense of hope and empowerment.
Yes.
You know, families are complex. They're messy. They're often hilarious.
Absolutely.
But they're also incredibly resilient.
Yeah.
And capable of amazing growth and transformation.
They are. And even when things feel overwhelming, remember that there are resources available, there are people who care, and there's always hope for positive change.
It's about recognizing that every family has its own unique journey.
Right.
Its own set of strengths and challenges.
And its own path to healing and wholeness.
Exactly.
And those journeys, as diverse and challenging as they may be, are all worthy of support, understanding, and compassion.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of family and teen therapy.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope this has given you some valuable insights and maybe even sparked some meaningful conversations in your own families.
Absolutely.
And until next time, keep those conversations flowing, keep those connections strong, and keep exploring what it means to be a family.
Thanks for having me.